And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville. We're Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Does that make us a regional show, Boomer? Are we kind of like a regional? Almost.
Kind of like a regional show.
All right.
Come on.
That was Steve from Tennessee calling in, wasn't it? That was Steve from Tennessee that called in.
Steve from Tennessee.
You got Jeff from Indiana.
Yeah.
Jerome in Rome.
I like it.
All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to move right into the triple dipper now. Election machinations. So I'm in number one of the dipper, election machinations, but I'm going to spend some time on a number of pieces of this. Like, part of it's going to be stuff like right here at home. I've been getting a lot of requests to sort of walk through what I know about the amendments that are on the ballot, and I'm going to explain that here in a second, too. Let me just also say this. If you've never done this, I highly recommend it. Go to the Alabama Secretary of State's website. And on that Secretary of State, Alabama Secretary of State's website, if you scroll down on the main page, you'll find a hot link to what it says voting in Alabama. When you click on that, it takes you to a place where you can get sample ballots, and it'll have sample ballots by county. So you can go and pull down the sample ballots for where you vote, because they're going to be different than where somebody else votes because of local candidacies, because there may have been local bills, but I'll explain more about that in a minute. But there's going to be things on every county's ballots that are different than, some of us see the same statewide stuff, obviously, but there's going to be other things that are purely local. So as I'm talking right now, knowing that I have a, somewhat regional show, I can talk about something. It may not be, what I'm going to do is kind of stick with kind of a broad overview of some things that are on everybody's ballot. But I'll tell you right now, there are some things that are nuanced only to your hometown, your home county. Go to the Alabama Secretary of State's website, click on, in the main page, click on Voting in Alabama, click again on Sample Ballots and find your county and find your sample ballot and check it out. Some of them are going to be just what I say. But here's the deal. In Alabama, we have a very cumbersome way of handling some matters. There's no other way to describe it. The Constitution of Alabama is actually known as the largest constitution in the world. In the world. I kid you not. How many amendments do we have? I want to say it's like 978 amendments. Here it is. 978 amendments to the Constitution of Alabama. It was put together in 1901. And it really, I have trouble with this. It really relegates most authority to Montgomery, even to the point that it's hard to say there's much home rule. So literally, in my district when I was a state senator, if the city of Gadsden wanted to have Sunday alcohol sales, we had to run a special bill, we call them local bills, just for them in Montgomery. It had to pass the legislature. It had to come back home, be voted on at the local level by the populace in order for the local town council to then put Sunday alcohol sales in place. That's one example. It might be something like a zoning ordinance or an economic development bill. It might be something like a local millage tax for property. It might be something like, raising some form of local sales tax or whatever. All said and done, so much of what happens at the local level has to get sent to Montgomery and then put on the ballot. So I'm just going to guarantee you, that there's going to be things on your local home county, some of y'all, that nobody else has because it was run as what they call a local bill. And those things literally happen. The Constitution requires that we go down to Montgomery. Your local delegation, the ones like your state house and state senate reps for that area, they have to agree. And then typically the process is they run the bill in the paper, they advertise it, give a chance for public opinion. Most of the time there's not any. And then the bill gets put on the floor of the House and the Senate. Most people realize it's uncontested by the local delegation. They can kind of stay out of the way, let them pass their local bill, and then it goes on the ballot. You vote on it, da-da, you're done. It's still kind of archaic. There's also, though, things about the state constitution that are just archaic in and of themselves. There's language. There's still racist language in our state constitution. Not because we're systemically racist and acting on it, because it was written in, 1901. And it's not like it says, you're allowed to own a slave. It just says, it uses language that we don't use anymore. And I'm trying to think of an example, but I probably don't want to say the examples. But the reality is there is some language in there that gives racist overtones or talks about the separations of the races or whatever. And that needs to go away. Now, we tried. I helped co-sponsor a bill with Senator Arthur Orr when I was in the Senate. We tried to get rid of it then. You know who opposed it? We were weeding out racist language. The teachers union, believe it or not, the teachers union fought to oppose that bill because they said if we removed the clause that had the racist language in it, that it might somehow do away with a child's right to an education, which was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard. But it was a classic example of the teachers union mucking things up. They have nothing to do with education. Anyway, all said and done, there are also things on there that are called constitutional amendments. And the way that works is basically there are things that have to get done in our state that are required to be voted on by the people. And generally, it's going to be things like tax increases or things that deal with changing our current constitutional provisions or things that deal with economic development and incentives to be offered, those kind of things. And so you're going to see there are 10 amendments to our state constitution for you to vote on, and up or down, just a yay or a nay. But when you read them, sometimes you look at them and go, what does that even say? And I get it. Believe me, I get it. While I was there, we passed a bill to require, it's called the Plain Text or Plain Language Act, that requires it to be written more like what people talk and not sound like some flowery thing that, you know, comes from the Middle Ages, that you read it in the ballot booth, you're going, I have no idea what that means. And I know people, they've told me before, if I don't understand it, I just vote no. Well, I get it. I get it, because you don't know what they're trying to do, so you vote no. Listen, here's the deal. I'm going to walk through these things. And aside from the 10 amendments, though, there is one more that I want to point out to you. It's not an actual amendment. It's called a reorganization of the state constitution. So currently what we have is known as the Constitution of Alabama 1901. But it is cumbersome in the way it's put together. The order of it is not always, you know, fluid. Like you would turn a page expecting to find something and realize it's in another place. You would find that things aren't, you know, divided up by their county. They're kind of scattered throughout. There's racist language, like I said, that needs to go away. So here's the deal. When you pick up your ballot, there's going to be 10 statewide amendments plus one more that allows for a reorganization, plus whatever you have locally. So the bottom line is this. With regards to the first piece that talks about the reorganization, what you're going to be voting on is and let me stop again. I jumped ahead of myself. If you have any questions at all after I've done this, we're going to post this audio. You can go back and find it, listen to it again, send it to a friend, whatever you want to do. You can also go to the Alabama Policy Institute website. That's alabamapolicy.org. Go to their website. They've got this write-up on their website that I'm kind of referring to right now. Okay. First thing on the amendments and stuff. The first thing you're going to vote on is a yay or a nay on how you feel about reorganizing the state constitution. I mean, it's a long, cumbersome document, like I said. This 2022 rewrite, all it does is it just reorganizes the order of the document into more logical sections. It removes racist language. It deletes and repeals things that are repetitive. It places amendments related to economic development in one place, and it arranges all the local amendments into another place. It does not raise taxes. It does not do anything that costs the state any money. All it does is allows for the folks at the Legislative Affairs Office to take the Constitution and make it more usable, user-friendly. So my suggestion, what I'm going to do, what Charlene and I are going to do, is we're voting yes for the reorganization. Your call on that, but I'll just tell you, I don't have any problem with it. All we're doing is reorganizing a 120-year-old document. There's the first one. The next one is known as Amendment 1. In today's society, I think Amendment 1 makes sense. We're seeing crime left and right. We're seeing people getting out of jail with no bail requirements. Well, Amendment 1 is called Anaya's Law. You may recall a little girl named Anaya Blanchard was murdered by a guy here in Alabama that was out on bond for attempted murder. So Anaya's Law would limit the opportunity for bail for individuals who are accused of certain violent crimes. And I get it. Some folks are going to say it's too oppressive. You know what? I'm fine with it. I say vote yes on Amendment 1. I say make it harder for somebody to get out. Now, the question is going to be, what if they've been accused but not convicted? Are you saying that you're denying them some measure of due process, whatever? You can argue that in your own mind if you want to. Me, personally, I'm okay with Amendment 1. Amendment 1 limits bail for people accused of certain violent crimes. All right, Amendment 2. Amendment 2 just simply allows the state, county, and municipal governments to take some of the federal stimulus money they got during COVID and use it for increasing broadband infrastructure. Now, you look at it and go, okay, really? I mean, the state's already allocating money. It's a crying shame that the cities and the counties have to ask the state for permission to use the funds they were given to do certain things with it that might make sense for their community, but they still have to ask permission. All right. Well, call it accountability if you want to. But the reality is all these COVID dollars are sitting in pots in places, in some places where they couldn't, the kids couldn't get on the internet for school at home because there was no internet capability in their area. Some of the rural areas of the state where literally kids couldn't get internet service to quote unquote log into their lessons. So Amendment 2 allows state, county, and municipal governments to spend their federal stimulus dollars through grants for broadband infrastructure projects. I don't have a problem with it. I say vote yes. What else I got here? Amendment 3. Amendment 3 is just literally going to require the governor to have to notify the attorney general and a victim's family before postponing or commuting a death sentence. In other words, if there's somebody who is in jail on death row and the governor wants to commute their sentence, or the governor's going to postpone the electric chair or whatever form of, you know, the death sentence is going to be, they have to notify the victim's family first. I have no problem with that. I say vote yes on Amendment 3. All right, I got 7 more of these. I hope this is helpful. To me, it is. I'll be honest with you. I hadn't truly studied all of these until I got ready for today's show. To me, it's helpful. I hope it's helpful for y'all. Stay tuned. We're going to come right back and walk through the rest of these. And then top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned because we're going to get a national perspective from a guy named Noah Weinrich, who's with Heritage Action and the Sentinel Action Fund, been funding races for conservatives around the nation. We'll see what he has to say. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, I'm running through the amendments that are on the ballot this coming week. Several folks have asked, a few folks have already said thank you on the text line, so that's nice. If you want to text in your comments, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I did the constitutional reorganization. I just did the first 3 of the 10 amendments. I'm on amendment number 4. Let's see if we can get through by the top of the hour. Here's the deal. By the way, all of this is on the Alabama Policy Institute's website, alabamapolicy.org. You can also find copies of the actual amendments written in plain language on the Secretary of State's website if you want to read them. So they're there, as along with your sample ballots. Okay, so amendment 4 says basically the Amendment 4 to the Constitution would require that any law that impacts a general election must be passed at least 6 months before the election. You remember during the last election cycle, we had so many hokey things being done, you know, quick changes to the election laws, things that shouldn't have taken place, some of which was outside of the bounds of the Constitution anyway because it's supposed to be the legislature doing it. But what they're saying here is changing the election laws of the state has to be done at least 6 months before an election so you can see it plainly and know how to react to it and the state can prepare as necessary. Now, you might have a concern. What happens if something comes up that, you know, requires a change to the law like you couldn't have seen it coming? Well, I don't know. We can't plan for every contingency. I think based on what I saw in 2020, I'm okay with this amendment, Amendment 4. Charlene and I are likely going to vote yes. Number 5, Amendment 5, it just deletes old archaic language related to the court's authority over orphans' business. Orphans' business is just old-fashioned language. Nobody talks that way anymore. All they're doing is jerking that out of the amendment and getting rid of it. So Amendment 5 is a no-brainer. You're just cleaning up old language. I say Amendment 5, vote yes. Number 6. All right. Now, this one says Amendment 6 would allow towns that are already permitted to collect a special property tax to use those dollars to pay for construction projects instead of incurring new debt. So let's say you've got a town whose sales taxes are going good, but their local ordinances or local laws don't allow them to use those sales taxes for building projects like redoing City Hall or a local park, and they have to do a bond issue. All they're saying here is if your elected city council believes the best thing for them to do is reallocate current funds instead of incurring new debt, then go ahead. I don't have a problem with this. I think it allows a little more home rule. So it's a crying shame that you have to go to Montgomery to get permission. But then again, there it is. Now, number 7, here's Amendment 7. Amendment 7 actually gives more power to the local governments, which can be good and bad depending on where you live. But under current law, only specified counties and municipalities can use public funds to sell property, to lend, to take credit, to become indebted for economic development. Amendment 7 would allow all local governments to do that without further requirement to come to Montgomery. I don't have a problem with this. I think it's a win for county and city governments. I say go for it. Amendment 7, again, I'm voting yes. So far, it's yes on all of them. Now, Amendment 8 and 9 are interesting. Amendment 8 and 9, they kind of go together. This would give jurisdiction over privately owned sewer systems in Shelby, Tuscaloosa, and Jefferson counties to the Public Service Commission, which is the state authority that oversees utilities. So the PSC would then, you know, provide enhanced oversight, ensure better business practices, that kind of thing. It may also, though, incur state costs. It may have to, you know, the state having to rescue locals who couldn't handle things they got into. Rate hikes might be in order to make it all fit. Just be aware, when you vote for this, you might be trying to rescue bad systems that were set up at the local level, but at the same time, you're handing it off to the state at that point. I got news. I have question marks on 8 and 9. I've had folks in Shelby County say, please, tell them we got to do this. And I had somebody else say, this one looks like you're trying to just, you know, put it in the hands of the state when it should be a local issue. I don't know. And what I'm going to do is tell you 8 and 9, are up to you, but what they are is literally taking the local authority that set up those sewer systems and handing it off to the state to help manage because they couldn't do it themselves. Don't know. And then Amendment 10, all Amendment 10 does is say, after you reorganize, if you vote on that constitutional reorganization, then all these other things we just did, the other 9, it puts them into their right places in the new Constitution because you're kind of passing it at the same time, you have to, everything has to jibe. So all you're doing here is saying Amendment 10, if y'all agree to reorganize the Constitution like that first piece, then Amendment 10 lets these new things that we just talked about, 1 through 9, be put in the proper order as voted for in the reorganization. There you go. That's a full ballot, man. Did I finish in time, Boomer? I did. With how much time I got left?
10 seconds.
With 10 seconds left? Dang, bro. That was... We nailed it.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Well, listen, folks, I hope that was helpful. And I want to encourage you, go to alabamapolicy.org. You'll find this write-up that I helped use to refer to these things. You can also go to the Secretary of State's website, State of Alabama. Find your own sample ballot. Review these things in advance and make sure there's no local legislation that you weren't already tracking to. And it'll be on our podcast by tonight. Boomer just wrote on the board, by tonight. By tonight. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Interesting conversation with Noah Weinrich on national elections coming up next.